This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut, it's Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. 8 days until opening day, and it feels like players are dropping like flies from injuries. And this one's a big concern. Fernando Tatis Jr. yesterday went out. Give a listen.
Uh-oh. Fernando looks...
It looks like he's got his hands on his hips, and he's walking towards the dugout. He's being met by Jace Tingler and an athletic trainer. And Fernando is walking off the field with an apparent injury. His right hand kind of on his right hip.
So that was Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, with the uh-oh at the beginning. After the game, the Padres told reporters that he had left shoulder discomfort. They're going to be looking at that some more today. Look, a left shoulder issue for a right-handed hitter or someone who throws right-handed, it's not as potentially not as serious, but we've seen hitters have those front shoulder issues through the years, and sometimes those can be really dicey. So everybody in baseball today will have fingers crossed about Fernando Tatis Jr. Kyle Freeland was pitching for the Rockies, lined up to start their second game of the regular season, and this happened.
0-2 bounced it up there, misfired on the breaking ball.
Freeland just hurt himself.
One ball.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he's clutching his left arm. It's been that kind of day around baseball. And he is writhing in pain. I don't know if he's reaching behind. I think he's reaching behind the back of his throwing shoulder.
And after the game, what the Rockies told reporters was that he has a shoulder strain. There's going to be more information later today, but obviously he's not going to be able to start the second game of the season after having that issue. The Blue Jays announced that closer Kirby Yates is expected to have year-ending elbow surgery. That's devastating for the Blue Jays after spending a lot of money on one of the best available relievers. Diamondbacks announced that Zach Gallen, one of their best pitchers, has a hairline fracture in his right forearm. Apparently, that took place when he was jammed while taking batting practice. Taylor, why was a pitcher taking batting practice?
Wow, that's weird. That doesn't sound like it's in their job description. Maybe Major League Baseball should fix that.
Maybe it should fix that. Maybe the universal DH is a good idea. And I tweeted that out last night. Come on, let's get this over with. Just announce the universal DH so that we don't lose pitchers to injuries like this. We're going to be talking about that with David Schoenfield coming up. We need some good stuff after all those injuries. How about Francisco Lindor yesterday?
Lindor with a drive down the right field line, and it's gone. A home run for Francisco Lindor. He continues to be red hot this spring.
Absolutely. Like, he's getting primed up at a time when he and the Mets are having conversations about a long-term deal. That's four homers in his last five games. That sound from SNY. Ronald Acuna Jr. also went deep.
Down to Fort Myers to see the Twins. 3-0 pitch. He swings and hits a bomb. Deep left field. This thing is way gone. Acuna with his fourth home run of the spring, and he just obliterated that pitch from Garrett Richards.
Yeah, that was a nice moment. How about this one from JT Realmuto, the Phillies catcher returning to game action. He'd been playing a lot of B games, minor league type action, as he gets ready for the start of the season, coming back from a thumb issue. This is what happened. Taylor, you want to give the call on that one?
I'm so perplexed by these games that don't have calls on them. I understand we are in the age of COVID and budget cuts, but I don't know. I do kind of like when you send me a link, Buster, and I'm listening through the sounds and there's no call, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's just kind of quiet. It's nice. It's just baseball.
Okay, but it also gives you an opportunity to make the home run call you've been waiting to make. Go ahead, give it.
Francisco Lindor up to bat. He's been having a killer spring, but has not hit one out of the park. I don't know who this pitcher is. He lines up, throws it right down the middle. It's out of here!
That would be a great call, except the home run was from the Phillies catcher, JT Realmuto.
Oh, F me. I got excited.
Okay. All right. We're going to be talking with Dave Schoenfield about that. We'll be talking with Paul Imbecides about a potential game-changing rule enforcement for Major League Baseball. We'll continue our National League Central previews with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. But I want to tell you, check out America's Caddy on ESPN Plus, hosted by Michael Collins. Join the quick-witted, longtime caddy, comedian, and ESPN golf analyst as he interviews the biggest stars in the game. America's Caddy is part travelogue, part golf history lesson, part celebrity hangout, and full of laughs. Streaming now on ESPN Plus. Taylor, you don't have play-by-play man in your future, I can tell you that.
No, I blacked out there for a second. I don't know what happened, Buster. We'll try again next time.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11 ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Welcome to the show. Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfeld.
And David Schoenfeld covers baseball for ESPN. And man, we got a lot of stuff to get to today. A lot of juicy stuff. You ready?
Let's do it!
Okay. So yesterday, we find out that Zach Gallen has a stress fracture, which was caused when he was taking batting practice for the Arizona Diamondbacks, a National League team at a time when everybody knows in 2022 forward, there's going to be universal DH in one. Pretty much everybody in baseball wants it for 2021, but it hasn't been implemented yet by Major League Baseball. What do you think, Dave?
It makes me disgusted, Buster. Come on, pitchers in 2019, the last year they hit, 128 batting average. In 2018, 115. I'm done with this. I don't want to see pitchers hit. We're seeing, you know, the risk of injuries. Enough. Give me the designated hitter.
Did you have the same reaction? Every time now I see a pitcher's injury, I'm like, come on. Like, let's just do this. I told you that last night. It's cutting off your nose to spite your face. You know, they tried to use it as an issue in leverage with negotiation with the Player Association. Player Association called their bluff. Why are we persisting in this? They're not going to be able to cash it in.
Yeah, it's just, look, I know it's all tied into the labor negotiations, but just once, can MLB just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do? You know, I was emailing a friend of mine, you know, we're talking about the Chin-Ming Wong injury. That was 2008 when his career basically got ended because of an injury. Stuff. I think he was running the bases, but ended his career, you know. So that was 13 years ago, and we're still dealing with this. I mean, I think it was Gallen himself who said, I'm paid to pitch. You know, I'm not paid to hit. So enough, you know, let's look, I know it's not going to happen this year, apparently, but it's really a shame.
So last night, Joel Sherman wrote a piece in the New York Post that is a potential game changer. Major League Baseball has sent a memo, according to Joel's report, to all teams, basically informing them that MLB could use analytics to try to track pitchers who are using foreign substances. And of course, the way you do that potentially is if they see a spike in spin rate, then that will make those players candidates for being potential violators of Major League Baseball's foreign substance rule. When I saw this, I thought, you know what? It could be a game changer. But on the other hand, I could sit there and you could sit there and players on all teams could sit there and they already know who uses foreign substances. Yes. Watch the games and you see, and especially during the postseason last year, we saw pitchers going to the forearm of their gloved hand and wipe their fingers on it because that's where they keep their pine tar. And everybody knows this. So I don't think baseball necessarily needs analytics. It needs an enforcement arm because to this point, the way they've enforced this rule is to ask the managers to go out and challenge and to ask the pitchers to be checked. And unless that changes and unless they basically tell the umpires, look, it's on you to enforce the rules, this is kind of eyewash. What do you think?
Yeah, look, we could go on and on because this is one of my pet topics. First of all, it's against the rules. It's in the rule book. Pitchers cannot use a foreign substance, I guess, other than the rosin bag. Buster, I don't know if you agree with this. My feeling is this has gotten substantially worse or increased usage over the last decade. I think this is a huge reason why we see some of these ungodly breaking balls that pitchers throw these days, combined with their increased velocity, is making hitting very, very hard. And I know hitters will say they don't mind because they don't want the ball, you know, having a slippery grip and coming towards their head. But I think we need to enforce it. Maybe this is the first step. It's a very hard, difficult thing to enforce, but I think this will help bring more balance and cut down on strikeouts.
Yeah, that's exactly what Joel wrote. That's their, you know, that's their goal, is to help offenses by taking foreign substances out of the game. But again, the question is, how do you bridge that gap?
Right.
I mean, what Major League Baseball wants and actually compelling change among the pitchers to not use it, and they have to put that in the hands of the umpires, because if you leave it to the players, that old-fashioned gentleman's agreement among teams is going to change. I'll never forget, you know, I was at the game when Michael Pineda
yep.
had that gob of pine tar on his neck. It was put there by a teammate. And I remember talking with John Farrell about that the next day, because, of course, after that happened and our cameras, that game was on ESPN, our cameras trained on it. John Farrell went out, asked the umpires to check. Michael Pineda was kicked out of the game. He was suspended. And after the game, Joe Girardi was not at all upset with John Farrell. His feeling was, oh my God, we were so obvious about it. And John Farrell said to me the next day, I didn't want to do that because that's the gentleman's agreement that has been in place for all these years. They have to get the umpires to enforce.
Yeah, well, I remember around that same era, the guy that really keyed me in on this, and this is why John Farrell probably didn't say anything, Clay Buchholz. And remember that year he had the sub-2 ERA, I think. He got hurt, so he didn't pitch the whole year. But he would pitch. He'd have a big, shiny, you know, substance on his forearm. And his pitches that year were just – they were moving like – it was like Mike Scott in his prime. His pitches were moving so much, you know. And I think he was using the sunscreen that a lot of pitchers reuse. I think now they've moved beyond that into, you know, secret chemist-developed substances, right? You know, but we got to figure out a way. And it's impossible – look, you can't just leave it in the hands of the umpires, though, because – they have nothing to gain by calling out one pitcher when they know everybody else is doing it as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what exactly the orders are from Major League Baseball on the enforcement of this rule that they're trying to invoke on the games. We'll see how they handle that. Some real salt from Seattle Mariners Scott Service last night. This was after Trevor Bauer pitched against the Mariners on Monday night. He gave up 3 long home runs and 5 runs in his final inning of work. And on Monday night, Trevor told reporters, the 5th inning, there really wasn't any thought of sequencing or whatever. I was just throwing strikes. That's not really a good mind frame to be in when you're trying to get guys out. But I was just finishing off the night. trying to get my pitch count up. Well, that apparently rubbed Scott Servais the wrong way, because this was him talking about Trevor's outing. Give a listen.
Certainly Bauer was on top of his game early. And I just wanted everybody to know that our guys weren't trying the first four innings. We decided to try in the fifth inning last night, and it worked out. Our guys started trying. So I know he had said maybe he wasn't in the fifth, but our guys were trying in the fifth. We just didn't take it seriously the first three, four innings.
Did they have both eyes open?
So our guys were hitting with one eye shut the first four innings and trying to breathe through our eyelids as we're focusing on different things that will help us throughout the year.
That, of course, a reference to a game earlier in spring training when Trevor pitched with one eye closed, telling reporters afterward he was trying to challenge himself. Pretty clear, Scott Servais was not happy with what Trevor Bauer said.
Yeah, Scott Servais is usually, not to be mean here, but one of the more boring interviews among MLB managers. So for Scott Servais to strike out at Trevor Bauer like that, that's pretty interesting. Let's just say Trevor Bauer probably isn't the most favorite player among opposing teams in 2021. So it'll be interesting how he does react, to the big contract, all the eyes on him, a lot more pressure than he's used to.
By the way, that sound courtesy of Ryan Divish. We took it off his Twitter feed. And as he noted in his story, Scott Servais is generally understated, but there definitely is a competitive side to him. If you ever talk to him, you can feel that. All right, I want to talk to you about ESPN's Top 100. You participated, along with myself, Brad Doolittle, in an article that's posted on ESPN.com today, basically critiquing our Top 100. So I want to ask you some questions about it. You know, the number one player in all of baseball, Mike Trout, number two player with Mookie Betts. Did you have any problem with that, one and two?
No problems with that. You know, one of the questions, we were asked to answer, is this the year that Mookie passes Trout? I don't know. Trout still has a sizable advantage at the plate, more power, higher on base. Mookie certainly has the edge, on defense, and even base running, Trout doesn't steal anymore. But I'm fine with that. I think to beat out Mike Trout, you got to really beat out Trout. And Betts had the great MVP year. If he can boost his offense to that level, then we have a debate. For now, it's Mike Trout still.
Okay, they asked, one of the questions they also asked, who in the top 25 do you feel like shouldn't necessarily be there? I was surprised Trevor Bauer is ranked 16th overall. He was phenomenal last year. He wound up getting a big contract. He's making the highest salary for any player in baseball history this year. But the stretch of excellence from him is not as long as a player who's ranked behind him like DJ LeMahieu. I don't know how Trevor Bauer could be ranked ahead of DJ LeMahieu, for example. Who in the top 25 kind of jumped out at you as somebody maybe shouldn't have been that high?
Yeah, actually, I'll agree with you. Another guy he's ranked ahead of is Max Scherzer. And you nailed it. Like Bauer, he was great in 2018. Last year in, I think it was 11 starts, but I did a little research on that. He faced two good offensive lineups all year. So very easy schedule. Nobody in the NL Central hit last year. And in between 2019, he had a 4-something ERA. So I know Max Scherzer wasn't quite dominant, as he's been last year. But are you ready to write off Max Scherzer or predict that he's declining? I'm not. So I don't know how you can rate Bauer ahead of Scherzer specifically.
And Clayton Kershaw too. And I get it. Clayton's, in the backside of his career, but at the same time, those guys have great track records and they're still really good. But it surprised me that where he ranked there. We also had a question, who's not in the top 100 that surprises you? For me, it was reliever Liam Hendricks. Last year was the number one reliever in baseball. He got $54 million during the offseason from the Chicago White Sox. So for him not to be in the top 100 when a lot of other relievers were, that was a shocker for me. Who was not in the top 100 that surprised you?
Yeah, that was weird because he was on it last year. So the way we did the voting, and that's just a weird kind of random thing. So I do have an all-underrated team coming out. I think they're going to run that on Thursday. There wasn't anybody, the guy who surprised me that wasn't in the top 100 was Zach Greinke, who I can understand. He's getting up there in age, but again, I'm not ready to bet against him yet. You know, very durable. His peripherals last year were still great. I get it. The velocity's down, but I think he's going to be fine. I think a guy most likely to jump into the top 100, and I understand why he's not there yet, is Ke'Bryan Hayes, who's my pick for Rookie of the Year. He has a very high floor because of his defense. And I know we saw what he did last September. He's absolutely torn it up in spring training. He's a high contact guy, and he's going to hit for some power. He's learning to loft the ball. So he's a guy that could hit 300, 15, 20 homers, great defense. That's a top 100 guy for me.
And give me 45 seconds on this. We were asked about DeGrom or Gerrit Cole. And in our rankings, Gerrit Cole is one spot ahead of Jacob DeGrom. That surprised me. There have been times when I thought Gerrit Cole was the best pitcher in baseball. Right now, I think it's clear it's DeGrom.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know you just wrote about him. Cole, yeah, he was better that last two-thirds of 2019 when he went 16-0. But DeGrom was better in 2017, better in 2018, better in 2020. And like you wrote, he's throwing harder than ever. I'm picking Jacob DeGrom, not only to win the Cy Young, Buster, but National League MVP as well.
I got a feeling that that might be a popular pick, but we'll see. All right, Dave, thank you.
You bet.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Jumping into the numbers. Numbers. This is Hembo Knows on Baseball Tonight.
Hembo, of course, Paul Imbachiti is a researcher at ESPN who's a honcho on the show Get Up, but we've heard from Mike Greenberg. He's just a wild partier over there. Hembo, so last week, again, you helped me with this article I wrote on Jacob DeGrom about his increased velocity, which is just remarkable how much that's climbed. And I posed a question in the piece about how for years, I think a lot of people in baseball looked at a guy like a Nolan Ryan as having like the perfect pitcher's body, the Roger Clemens, because of how they use their legs. And just in watching Jacob DeGrom and seeing the athleticism and the long levers, you know, the long arms that he had, you know, that Gumby, Ichabod Crane body that he has, I kind of look at him now being more that guy. What about you?
Yeah, I think you're right. Jacob DeGrom is the 2021 prototype. If you built a pitcher for today's game in a lab, out would spit out Jacob DeGrom, like Clemens and those guys of years past. They had the sort of traditional drop and drive delivery, which was how pitching was taught then. And that's all well and good. But Jacob DeGrom now captures all the energy from his body as well as anybody. Like you said, he's loose, he's limber. He can produce all that leverage, and his arm is so freaking fast. And I think one thing that we often underestimate about Jacob DeGrom, he is an extraordinary athlete. He is as athletic, if not more athletic than most position players in baseball. We, of course, know that he played shortstop in college, of course, and that enables him to repeat his delivery effortlessly. It enables him to repeat that release point, which the numbers indicate is among the best or the amount of lowest variance in baseball. Like, all this stuff adds up to a guy right now who's literally sitting 100 and commanding three pitches, Buster. We have never seen anything like it.
I told Dave Schoenfield that there have been times when I thought Gerrit Cole, especially in 2018, was the best pitcher in baseball. But right now, it feels like DeGrom is climbing into this absolute elite level of starting pitchers in baseball history. And again, Gerrit Cole, I think, has a chance to wind up in the Hall of Fame someday. But DeGrom right now is reminding me of the very small group of guys that you would say, went to next level. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. Like an inner circle type. It would not at all surprise me if he's in that class of player. I think he's going to be the best player in baseball this season, regardless of position. I ran some numbers recently, Buster. I told you last week that no pitcher ever from a run prevention standpoint just had a better 3-year stretch from the ages of 30 through 32 than he did. I also can tell you that on a per inning basis, he produces more value than any starting pitcher in the history of baseball. And this is, a pitcher with relatively low volume and wear and tear up until this point in his career. Like I like to tell people, fewer innings right now than Babe Ruth threw in his career. So I think right now he might just be sort of entering his prime, as crazy as that sounds, which is to say we might be looking at a 6 or 7 year stretch of Jacob deGrom should he stay healthy, the kind of stretch that, you know, will be the stuff of legend, the kind of stuff that will enable him to someday reach the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, even though he is probably not going to generate the same kind of counting stats that other guys that have come before him. But, you know, with how baseball is played in 2021, you know, we're foolish to hold that against him.
And I know he has a prominent place in the awards you turned in to ESPN.com. Give me your big award winners that you have for baseball in this season.
So, Buster, I not only believe that Jacob deGrom is going to win the National League Cy Young Award, which is, of course, is no surprise to anybody. I think he's going to win the National League MVP Award. I think he's going to have that kind of season. In the American League, I have Aaron Judge winning my American League MVP. I think if he can play 150 games, he's going to do something really special. And I see Gerrit Cole winning the Cy Young Award. I'm sort of all in on the Yankees this season in that regard. And as far as the rookies of the year are concerned, I mentioned how much I like Christian Pache last week on the podcast. He's my National League kid. And in the American League, it's Nick Madrigal. What do you think about those picks?
I think they're good. I have not gone through my picks. I like the fact that you are first to come through here. So all I can do if I want to is disagree with you. And
fair
I don't
enough.
Have to tell you what my picks are because okay, I haven't gone through them. So I want to go through your divisional picks and your wild card picks. And, of course, as of this moment, we're going under the old system of just having 5 playoff teams in each league. Who you got in the American League?
I got the Yankees. I got the White Sox. I got the Astros. I got the Blue Jays. And I got the Athletics. Those are my 5 American League teams with the Yankees coming out. What say you?
I'm not feeling as good about the Blue Jays, and I definitely am starting to buy the Angels hype.
Okay.
I think they've had a really good spring training. You know, Otani is a difference maker. By the way, I think there's more and more of a chance he's going to wind up starting that first game of the regular season, making his first start in the regular season on Sunday Night Baseball.
That's
what I'm hoping for, but it looks like it could line up that way. Who you got in the National League?
In the National League, I have the Braves, the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Mets, with the Braves coming out of the National League.
Huh. You know, the Brewers one is interesting because I still feel like there's like no excuse for the Cardinals not to make the playoffs under the current circumstance.
I think a lot of people feel that way, but the amount of value that they've added in the margins of the defense this season, the Christian Yelich bounce back, the two-headed monster in the rotation, plus the bullpen, I think the Brewers have a lot working for them. That makes them the most underrated club in the National League, in my judgment.
All right. You saw the story from Joel Sherman that Major League Baseball has sent a memo to teams saying it could potentially use analytics to police the use of foreign substances, which I, you know, as I said to Dave Schoenfield, look, I don't know why they're looking for evidence of pitchers using foreign substances. You and I can watch ball games and see it, right? It's like saying, well, we got this radar gun. It's going to show that somebody's speeding when we can stand on the side of the road and seeing everybody going 150 miles per hour. If they actually wind up enforcing this rule and they have to use the umpires to do that, based on analytics, who are some pitchers that you think might get some scrutiny?
Yeah, I'll give you 3 pitchers, Buster. The first is Yu Darvish, who's really come on lately in large part because of an increased spin rate. He's been great the last season and a half or so. He'll be someone definitely to watch in 2021 based on this, you know, this new reporting. The second is Lance Lynn, who, believe it or not, he's been the pitcher who's probably generated the best fastball, the most productive fastball, the fastball that has generated the most value the last 2 seasons. He's been able to spin that thing in the upper half of the zone and generate a lot of swing unders. He's another player to watch for. And of course he's on the White Sox this season. You know, they made that move in large part because of how dominant he's been throwing that fastball. And the third, I feel like it's almost too obvious, Buster, but Trevor Bauer is probably the poster child for all of this. I mean, he has made analytics sort of his darling and has, you know, poured his heart and soul into making himself better in large part by using them. And I mean, if if we're to just, you know, all agree that some of these pitchers go about doing this somewhat nefariously, I think he's sort of the poster child for that as well. So those are three guys, I think, that have really seen spikes in their spin rates lately that we should watch moving forward with this new reporting.
Well, and I wouldn't even say nefariously, because as you know, everyone knows that it's going on. Like, it's not a secret.
Fair enough.
And all teams, 30 teams are doing it. The managers know it. The players all know it. Everybody, you and I can watch television and we could tell friends, look, there he see right there. When he touched his forearm of his glove hand, yep, that's what he's doing. He's putting pine tar on the ball. Everybody can see it. But my question's going to be, will Major League Baseball actually enforce its own rule? And they can't leave it to the managers to challenge. They actually have to tell the umpires, you need to get involved. And that is a big leap from where the culture's been. Yes?
Oh, yes, for sure. And to credit you, Buster, you have been writing about this for like 5 years and no one else has been thinking about it. It's going to become a big thing this year and you are way ahead of the curve in that regard. But you're absolutely right in that it needs to be enforced from on high. It's like, you know, putting together a bunch of pace of play rules and expecting the players to abide by them like their speed limits, like you analogized earlier. It's not going to happen. If Major League Baseball wants to actually do this, they want to remove these foreign substances from the game, it's going to take yeoman's work from the top down. And history says they've not been that willing to do that with some of the rule changes lately because of the rigidity of the players. I would love to see them try, but I think it could get kind of ugly early in the season because, you know, these pitchers are such creatures of habit.
All right, Hembo, good to talk with you. Thanks again for the help with the DeGrom velocity numbers.
Oh, good stuff, man. Later, boys.
Get out of here, Hembo. Sick of Hembo. Right.
Garrett Gould covers the St. Louis Cardinals for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I've said often he's the number one beat writer in baseball. Derek, good to talk with you. So far, Nolan Arenado playing third base for the Cardinals. What does it look like?
As advertised, with maybe a little bit more buoyancy than expected. I mean, the guy is—he wants to play and wants to play a lot. We saw a sim game that they were out there setting up for Jack Flaherty. The purpose was to get Jack Flaherty some work on the backfields in a controlled setting. And of course, they gave him—I think it was about 5 innings, and then they lined up relievers to pitch the bottom part of the innings. And they asked any veterans, hey, do you guys want at bats? You don't need to play the field. We'll have a bunch of prospects in the field, but do you want just at bats? You know, and so they put these lineups together so that they could do, you know, lead off every inning. You know the whole setup, right? It's just basically a constant, like, all right, you can hit every inning, you can hit in any circumstance, but you'll get live at bats against Jack Flaherty. Well, Arenado is the guy who went out there, took, I think, 5 at bats, but he also played in the field in the innings. And one of the reasons why he went out to the field, it seemed from a distance, we watched from about a football field and a half away, was because there was a circumstance where the pitcher was going to drop a bunt. It was just a sacrifice situation. And so Arenado tagged into third base to be a part of that, to make that play. The guy will not turn down any opportunity to go play. And to be honest, Buster, that's been really infectious around it. This is a team that, you know, and I'm sure some people listen, really put a lot of pride in ball talk. And it was their gathering every day to talk through strategy, to talk through games. They would show highlights from other teams' games and just like either talk about how great the baseball play was, the baseball instinct, the baseball knowledge, the baseball IQ, or discuss how they could do it better. And they really thrived off of this. And that was taken from them last year because they couldn't gather in a group for obvious reasons. Arenado is just like living, breathing ball talk. And he's really brought that, he's brought a lot of bounce to the team. They also just kind of, you can tell they want to watch what he does next defensively.
Yeah, I was just going to say, look, any team that has a Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright, you would never say that they failed to put in full effort. Of course, they're trying. But Arenado just brings that adrenaline every day when he plays. And as you were talking, I thought, man, that is absolutely perfect for what this team could use.
Yeah, they needed some of that charisma. Yadier Molina brings it. People see that on the world stage when he plays for Team Puerto Rico. And you can also tell, obviously been here for a while, and thank you for the compliment. But the notion of like how good a Cardinals team is often how how much like electricity you see sparking off of Yadier Molina's game. I mean, he obviously, as October gets closer or October arrives, it's not that he plays harder or that he gives more. It's just that there's like this, I guess the the fun he has playing radiates from him. And there's that same sense here. To go with the fact that Arenado has a real charismatic game, which is something the Cardinals could use. Like you said, they needed that boost. They needed a boost offensively. They've long been a very good defensive team, as you know, one of the best run prevention teams around. It's really been how they got into the playoffs the last few years. But what they needed was some kind of lightning strike to give them, you know, just kind of this electricity again, you know, something to light up the brand, as they say. And Arenado's brought that.
How is the rotation shaping up, and specifically, what do you see in Jack Flaherty? Because it seems from afar like that might be the biggest question.
Oh, I think actually at this point, the biggest question is like, you know, do they not have as much depth as they thought they had? You know, trading Austin Gomber to the Rockies, they were like, well, we got 7-8 guys who could fill into that. Well, the biggest story of spring has been how the rotation has had some erosion. You know, you got Kim dealing with a sore back, Miles Michaelis unable to throw here for now a month because of shoulder soreness. Those two guys, Kim may be able to be ready for the regular season. And if so, that first start of his will be limited because he'll be building strength on the go. And how eager are they to do that? Michaelis will not be ready for opening day, and he might miss a couple turns in the rotation. So all of a sudden now that depth is less too, and you're not getting some of the performance that they'd hoped for, certainly from Carlos Martinez as far as consistency goes. They wanted him to compete for a roster spot, and all of a sudden 2 weeks in, or I'm sorry, not a roster spot, a rotation spot, and all of a sudden 2 weeks in, they're talking about him being a starter for sure just because the other guys had moved off. As far as like kind of what I think you're touching on there with Jack is they need that ability that everybody saw and that expectation of being in the Cy Young conversation to arrive. He's poised to lead this rotation, and Adam Wainwright is poised to be the complement to him. Last year, Adam Wainwright led the rotation in a lot of ways, was the MVP of the team. The Cardinals need Jack Flaherty to be at his best. And that's really been, I mean, it's become acute here this spring because of the injuries to the other guys, the depth that they thought, the strength that they had, this really bankable talent they had in their pitching staff that could go out there and just crank out the quality starts. It's not going to be there from the beginning because of these injuries. And that puts an emphasis on guys like Flaherty going out there and being just like the number one guy that they know he has the talent to be.
We got about 2.5 minutes left. Tell me about the outfield and how that's looking.
Well, Tyler O'Neill and Dylan Carlson, the rookie, have done everything they've needed to pin down the jobs out there. They cleared right field by trading Dexter Fowler so that Dylan Carlson could have a place to call home. He's going to see time here in center field, however, because there are guys that are making a push to overtake Harrison Bader. Harrison Bader has an elite glove, but he's struggled at the plate this year or in spring, and he struggled at the plate in previous seasons. Last year did have an uptick. They were encouraged by what they saw from him. On base percentage was higher, slugging percentage was higher, just poise at the plate was higher, pitch recognition was higher, and they wanted him to build on that. He's not, and he struggles quite a bit against right-handed pitching, so you're seeing them shift somewhat towards having those three spots determined by matchup, and Dylan Carlson would be the moving piece. He might be the opening day center fielder because you have guys like Justin Williams, a rookie, Austin Dean, somebody they picked up from the Marlins more than a year ago, these guys making a push. And then in the coming days, you might actually see like a John Nogowski, who has done well off the bench, or Jose Rondon, who the Cardinals got. He hit several home runs and was a utility infielder for the Chicago White Sox. You might see him get some time out there as they sort through maybe making that, having two starters out in the outfield and then sort of a flex position to choose to play with.
I really hope Major League Baseball gets out of its own way and at some point institutes the universal DH for the National League team between now and opening day. If that doesn't happen, what is the role of Matt Carpenter on this team?
Left-handed bat off the bench and part-time second baseman and double switch guy to first or third in games where they just want to take a couple innings from two of the guys who are going to play some of the, you know, most of the innings available to them. So that's where he's at right now. He had to hit his way into a starting job now, you know, and we talked about the outfield a little bit. Tommy Edman will be playing some outfield here this last week too, and he can play in the outfield. So there is a way for Edman, who's going to be the leadoff hitter, and Carpenter to appear in the same lineup. It's just that Carpenter had to overtake others to make that happen, and he hasn't this spring. And he's pretty candid about that. He has not hit his way into the larger role he imagined. If the DH happens, then that's an additional opportunity for him to prove it on the go there in the regular season when the standings count. But as of right now, he did not use spring to, in his words, he said he had to make it so they couldn't ignore him and they wanted him in the lineup. That hasn't been the spring that he's had.
All right, Derek. Always great to talk to you. Always learn something.
All right. Thanks, Buster. Great to chat with you.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Wednesday. First up, I want to promote Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. I don't know if anyone could tell my my mania seeping through the airwaves yesterday as I scrambled to record this podcast, then record Courtside, then record Jalen and Jacoby. So please listen to Courtside. We're going to have a good weekend of tournament action here. They're previewing the Sweet 16. I'm going to record again with them today to get all those games in. They looked back on last weekend's action in yesterday's podcast. Evidently, I can't speak today, can't form coherent sentences, but please follow, rate, and review Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, my friends, wherever you get your podcasts. And we will move on to the tweets here. Elizabeth Hart at eHart Tweets. She writes in, one would be an RBI if the S is contained in the R. Wouldn't the plural be RBI, piggybacking on yesterday's conversation with Taylor McGregor? What do you think, Buster?
Yeah, this is a chicken or the egg argument that will go down in history. Been having it for about 25 years. As I say, when I worked at New York Times, that was New York Times style RBI, and I agree with that style. So that's my view. Elizabeth, you got a different perspective. That's okay.
I saw someone else tweet in, if you were a pirate, it would be RBI. Next up, we got Kyle Benning at Kyle_Benning. He writes, and it's getting down to crunch time for finalizing rosters. Any surprise roster moves or personnel decisions that you're hearing rumblings on that may turn some heads, comeback candidates, cutting veterans, or top prospects making opening day rosters?
I will tell you this, Kyle, generally speaking across baseball, what I'm hearing a lot of is that if teams have an opportunity to keep depth, they're going to do that. So in other words, you might have a, you know, let's say a fringy type prospect who probably should be on the opening day roster. And there's a veteran who's out of options who would have to be just cut altogether. The team absolutely is going to err on the side as keeping as many bodies under their umbrella as possible. And that's going to be an advantage for those guys who don't have extra options this year because of all the concerns about trying to make up for innings that we're going to have with all the pitchers.
Next up from Oren Sleepwalker at Oren83, he writes, an early pick for the 2021 NL MVP, Soto or Acuna versus the field?
I tend to agree with what Hembo told us about Jacob deGrom. I think he's going to be a factor in the MVP this year. He looks unbelievable. This spring, watching him throw and seeing what he's capable of and seeing how he just continues to progress.
Hembo knows best. Last one for today. We'll go off topic with Eric Sorensen at Coach Sorensen 9. He writes, and when going on vacation to the ocean, what's both of your orders of fresh seafood? Buster, what is it? I feel like you're not really a seafood guy. Am I wrong to say that?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, I grew up in the middle of Vermont. We never left the farm. There's no way they're going to import fresh seafood. I love king crab. Absolutely love king crab. But I can't say that's, I haven't been up to Alaska, you know, so I can't say that it's necessarily fresh. What about you?
You know me, I'm a Maryland guy. So yeah. Crabs, any kind of, I won't really get crab related stuff outside of the DMV, but I love oysters. Oysters are great. Shrimp. I'll eat just about anything, man. Lobster rolls up here in Connecticut. They got great lobster rolls here, Maine, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Lobster's awesome. Yeah. But you know what? That should have been my answer right there.
There you go. That does it for Bleacher Tweets, everyone. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. Please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts.
That's it for today. My thanks to Dave, Hembo, Derek, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.